So today I'm going to be presenting data that looks at the link between physical victimization and risky sexual partners among drug users. First, let me acknowledge my co-authors, Candace Jones, Abby Rudolph, Alexis Rivera, Natalie Crawford, and Dr. Crystal Fuller, who's actually in the audience today. I have no relationships to disclose. Excuse me. Physical victimization has been linked to sexual behavior that puts one at high risk for HIV infection, such as not using condoms, transactional sex, and risky sexual partnerships, which is going to be the focus of my presentation today. Risky sexual partnerships are of particular interest among drug users. Studies have shown that injection drug users are more likely to have sex partners that are also drug users. And studies have also shown that drug users are more likely to engage in high-risk sexual behavior. Unfortunately, most of the literature in this area has specifically focused on intimate partner violence. And physical victimization of all types is a prevalent problem among drug users. Here we see that among substance abuse treatment samples, reports of physical victimization are almost 6 times that of samples that use data from the BRFSS. So the study that I'm presenting data on today is going to examine the temporal ordering of physical violent victimization and high-risk sexual partnerships among drug users. We're specifically interested in examining if physical violence, specifically victimization, predicts having a high-risk sexual partner. And let me make the distinction here between received violence and perpetrated violence. So in the presentation today, when I refer to physical victimization, I'm specifically referring to received violence. We're using data from the START study, and the START study examined factors that are associated with initiation of injection drug use. We're using a year-by-year behavioral history where participants were asked to recall sexual and drug use behaviors each year for the past 4 years. Participants were recruited using targeted outreach and respondent-driven sampling in New York City. Excuse me. In order to be eligible for the parent study, participants either had to be non-injection drug users or recent onset injection drug users. And for this particular study, we also excluded participants that reported a high-risk sexual partner at baseline. And we did this because, again, we wanted to specifically look at if physical victimization predicted having a high-risk sexual partner in the period that we're examining. We have both fixed measures and time-variant measures. The time-variant measures, again, were retrospectively recalled each year for the past 4 years and were drug use, condom use, and sexual behaviors and also sexual network characteristics. For the purposes of this analysis, measures that were reported 4 years ago were treated as baseline measures. Measures that were reported in the past year were treated as year 3 measures, allowing us to chronologically examine physical violence and high-risk sexual partnerships. We define a high-risk sexual partner in this particular study as a sexual partner that a participant reported had smoked crack, was a Black or Hispanic injection drug user, had a history of incarceration, engaged in transactional sex, and was a male who had sex with a male. Our primary exposure is physical violence in the prior year, and included being threatened with a knife or gun, being beaten up, or being shot, stabbed, or wounded in any other way so badly that you went to a hospital. In our analysis, we use logistic regression with GEE because measures were repeatedly asked over time. And violence, drug use, and sexual behavior were lagged by 1 year so that we can examine the occurrence of these in the prior year. Bivariate analysis tested for difference at the 0.05 level, and significant bivariate factors were included in multivariate analysis. And we also used an interaction term to test for gender differences in the association between violent victimization and high-risk sexual partners. Here we have descriptive characteristics of our sample, both the frequencies and also the unadjusted odds ratio of the association between those factors and having a high-risk sex partner. As you can see here, the majority of our sample was male, Black or Hispanic, and 74% of our sample were non-injection drug users. And only gender was significant in unadjusted analysis was significantly associated with having a high-risk sex partner. Here we see females were 2.7 times more likely to have a high-risk sex partner than males. Here we have frequencies and also an unadjusted odds ratios of sex behaviors, violence, and drug use. The majority of our sample, well, not the majority, but 42% of our sample, which is still high, reported having been exposed to physical violence, specifically being a victim of physical violence in the past 4 years. Most of the, about 30%, reported having a high-risk sex partner in the past 4 years. For the unadjusted odds ratios, physical violence and sexual violence were significantly associated with having a high-risk sex partner. So in our adjusted odds ratio, we see that even after controlling for gender, age, and sexual violence, physical victimization remained significantly associated with having a high-risk sexual partner. And that is specifically experiencing physical victimization in the prior year was a predictor of having a subsequent high-risk sexual partnership. We also tested for interaction terms, and they weren't significant, and thus were not included in the model that I'm showing here. So our findings show that physical victimization significantly predicted having a subsequent high-risk sexual partnership, and that this difference did not this association was not different for males and females. Our findings show that further studies are needed, specifically prospective studies that examine how frequency of physical violence, severity of physical victimization, and even type of perpetrator, how that affects sexual partnerships among drug users. Like any study, our study is not without its limitations. We did use self-reported sexual and drug use behaviors, and so there is a possibility of differential recall bias, where participants are more likely to more accurately recall more recent events, and also a possibility of social desirability bias, excuse me. But previous studies have shown that self-reported sexual and drug use behaviors are valid among drug users. Additionally, we use participants' report of sexual partner behaviors instead of, as opposed to actually asking the networks themselves. And previous studies have also shown that drug users do reliably and accurately recall or can account for the drug use behaviors of their networks. We used a cross-sectional design, and so causality cannot be determined, but we did use a year-by-year behavioral history, which allowed us to look at the temporal ordering of physical violence and high-risk sexual partnerships, and this sort of year-by-year history has been shown to be valid in previous studies. So in conclusion, our study suggests that physical victimization may increase the risk of high-risk sexual partnerships among drug users. HIV prevention interventions have shown that interpersonal relationships are an important part of risk reduction among drug users. And our study shows that further studies need to be done to explore how interventions can incorporate the social context of both physical victimization and high-risk sexual partnerships to reduce HIV risk in drug users. I would like to acknowledge NIDA, who funded the parent study. And thank you so much for your time and attention.